podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special off-the-cuff episode of Who Got the Assist Today. I'm Sam, otherwise known as FPL Pricey, and we wouldn't normally be coming to you on a Thursday evening, but it just so happens that one of us may have pressed the wildcard button. So I'm joined with my co-host at the moment, Tom, who is here. I don't know if he's with a beer this time, but...
No, I'm not.
Well, there you go. He has soberly pressed the wildcard button. So we thought we'd hop on and make a quick pod to discuss. First of all, Tom, how are you today? And second of all, what made you hit that button?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I sort of went out and saw the National last night. I didn't drink any alcohol then either. So it's been I've been completely sober since FPL meets. And so there's no with a beer making decisions, which may well happen tomorrow night. But there's been none of
that. Don't drink a wild card.
Yeah, you can't drink and wild card. But, you know, there's definitely been a sober decision. I mean, look, let's just get right into it. There's never a perfect time to wild card. And I think we all hope for some sort of scene from a movie style moment where you think, right, it's obviously time to wild card now. Everything's perfect. You know, the petals are on the bed and it's time to get on it. And yeah, but to me, I guess it's always a bit more nuanced than that. It's always very much about, yeah, where your team is and what your judgment is about the situation in front of you. That's obvious, right? On me, so yeah, I know I said on Monday I wasn't particularly interested in wildcarding. And one thing I hate is when podcasts say one thing and do another. And so yeah, thanks, Sam, for putting this together very quickly tonight. but yeah, the one thing I hadn't considered, to be honest, at that point on Monday was that kind of max value wildcard thing I've been mentioning quite a few times over the last few weeks, especially of me thinking, because we spoke about it, didn't we, on Monday, about how we would effectively have to wildcard to get to Salah, or at least have the opportunity to have Salah in our team due to decisions like buying Trippier last week. And for me as well, a little bit differently from you, also owning Son over Maddison. Yeah. So that's even more investment that's already in my team. So it meant that I was pretty much kind of in a position where I knew I'd have to wildcard eventually. So from there, I'd look at the wildcard team that I'd like to have in game week 9/10. And the more I looked at it, the more I realised I was just on the cusp of that wildcard being effectively unaffordable for me without some serious compromises. So they're the same compromise, actually, that people who wildcarded last week were seemingly forced to make to some extent. So going without Son, for example, because he wasn't the flavour of the week then. But I think, you know, I looked at my team, my actual team, the one I did just wildcard out of, and saw there were a few things I didn't like anymore. Like, I didn't really want Rashford anymore, Sterling, players like Baldock, Mbama, who seems about to drop to 4.3. And like, it wasn't a case of just kind of remove, it is a case of kind of doing some tidying up around the edges, but it kind of also means that basically the team I've wound up with at my meager team value of around 100.6 or 7 is a team that allows me to have Trippier, Son, Salah, Haaland, and also Saka all in one team. In the draft that we're going to show in a minute, I've got Bowen in that spot with cash available to for Saka to come back in. But we're not sure about Saka at the moment. If he is fit, I'm likely to just probably leave him there, actually. But what I kept coming back to was the fact that I couldn't get to the particular team that I wanted by game week 9/10 without that kind of compromise. I checked FPL review as a kind of a sense check. Like, I'm not the sort of individual, as listeners will know, who's going to be led completely by a review, but I did look at it as a sense check just to make sure I wasn't just getting too het up and, you know, getting building head of steam on my own without any sort of objective other pair of eyes on it. I mean, there were your pair of eyes on it, but that was pretty much it. And I found that the wildcard 7 plan and the wildcard 9 plan came out at around the same, which was quite heartening, and also kind of showed that the only thing that I'd be losing if I waited was the ability to actually get the team that I wanted. It's always a trade-off, isn't it? And sometimes the fact was, the thing that swung it for me was that sense of affordability or lack thereof. I mean, there are some real drawbacks, of course. So any wildcard team now is going to have no United. But given what we've seen recently, I sort of feel okay without having Rashford. I didn't have Bruno anyway. I don't have Mbeumo at the moment, nor Estupiñan, which could hurt. I'm gambling that for Bumo, the kind of cheaper assets like DRB, who's coming into good run of fixtures, and also Flash Anthony Gordon can match him. And Estupinian wise, there's Villa next, and those people are probably benching for double game week. And then you've got Liverpool and City, which may cause either a sell-off or a bench-off, which should probably hurt his kind of EO, especially with a potential rotation too, with Europe in the mix. So, I mean, I've got a solid team which has seen me through the next couple of months, I'd imagine now, and a team which is ultimately going to be unaffordable to me if I didn't go today, and perhaps some other competitors in my mini leagues and things like that after this point, perhaps even tonight, because there are quite a few players, prominently Salah, who are going to rise tonight. And again, that would have completely knocked me out. So yeah, basically it was getting to that 0.0 on that sort of max value wild card without making the compromises that others are going to be forced to make around kind of game week we get 8 or 9 when people will go. Yeah. So yeah, going a little bit early, basically. That's literally all I've done. I've just gone a couple of weeks earlier than I otherwise would have.
Cool. Okay, well, you've kind of mentioned a few of the player names already. At the moment on screen, if you're watching on YouTube, is Tom's former team. So let's switch over to your full wildcard side now. And we can, maybe for the sake of anyone listening, if you could run through the full 15. And then I'll start quizzing you on a few of the individual picks.
Of course. It sounds, feels like an interrogation. Okay. So I've got Areola and Turner as the two goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. Cheap and cheerful. Areola, as we discussed on the last pod, actually, that's one of the questions. His XGC or XGOT saves off PSGOT or something like that is actually very good. He's second to Leno and not by very far at all. And with West Ham's okay run, I mean, 4.2, that's great value. Shove him in there and hope for the best. Turner, good backup. I know there's Vlachodimos who could well come in there, but 4.0, I don't really care very much. I think I'll be playing Areola most weeks. I've got Botman and Trippier. I did buy Botman this week anyway, so I've got him in at 4.6. They are kind of supplemented by Pedro Porro, who I think you might want to talk about in a bit. So he's in there at the moment for me. And the two cheapies, I've got to go for two for a specific reason, which I'll mention in a second. I've got Kabore still, and I've got Charlie Taylor at Burnley, who seems to have forced his way into the first team, according to James at Planet FPL. And he is sat on my bench. He's just a 3.9. I know he's got double this week, but I don't think he'll make it in. In midfield, there are new buys, so Diaby and Gordon, cheap enablers. They allow me to have Salah and Son in the same team. And then I've got enough cash for Saka to stay. At the moment, in the team that is on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube or the team that is being presented, that Bowen is sat there as 1 week punt, and he would then be moved on to Madison pretty much for the next week. But if Saka is fit, I think there's been some indications today that he's been in the gym trying to get fit for Bournemouth, then I think that I'd probably keep Saka for the time being. I think I keep him for the Bournemouth game and then potentially think about selling him next week instead. But I like having the option just to keep him there in the team. And then up front is Haaland and Alvarez are still there. And Archer has now come in from Obama, who has been a bit of a disaster, kind of early buy. So all in all, I think that kind of equates to about 8 changes. So it's not, wholesale sweep the decks clean. It is, there's an element of rearranging the Titanic's on the deck chairs on the Titanic. And there's also an element of just a slight restructure as well. But yes, I've obviously run it through things like FPL team. I've run it for review and I've looked at kind of the upcoming weeks, and I'm fairly confident it will be all right. I mean, I am obviously exposed to a few things I wasn't exposed to before, like United and Bumo and Estupinian, but I think that there are enough countervailing factors that I feel confident that this wildcard will perform. And it's just that Saka question that remains, really, but the rest of it kind of all hangs together very well.
Fantastic. Well, you've answered a few of the questions I had in your monologue there on the 15. So I'll skip over a few. But the first question I did want to ask that I think anyone would probably logically want to ask with the goalkeepers is, do you expect Turner to keep his place for the foreseeable? Or do you think that actually he's ending up just on your bench as a 4.0 enabler just so you can use that money elsewhere? Is there, for example, another 4.5 keeper you'd have your eye on to combine with Areola, or is it basically Areola or bust?
Yeah, it literally is that. So I'm at 0.0 with the wild card that I've got here, assuming I have Saka. If I've got Bowen, I've got Bowen plus the money in the bank to buy Saka back at 8 point. I'm assuming he's there's a built-in assumption that he drops 0.1, basically. Mm-hmm. If I don't think that's going to happen, then I'd swap Porro for Udogi, so it gives me a little bit more money. But yes, I'm at 0.0, I've got to go with Areola and Turner and take my chances, effectively. I'm just assuming that if I've got a goalkeeper problem, it's going to affect quite a few people. You know, so I suspect that next few weeks, people are going to be wildcarding into a pretty similar goalkeeper setup. I think with Leno, I would love to have Leno in there. If I wildcarded before the last international break, he was going to be in that team. It's just obviously with 4.7 and everything being as tight as it is, I've just got very little scope to do anything other than go with the rock bottom price double up there and just kind of take it from that point onwards.
Fair enough. I think I saw on Twitter or X, as it now is, a combination of Areola and Neto doing quite good bits for the next few weeks. Was that at all tempting, or is it the least priority position?
I haven't got the money. I just don't like rotating goalkeepers. Like, basically, in your mind, just think that Areola is a 4.5 goalkeeper with a 0.3 discount and just for a, quite a decently defensively stodgy team. So just shove him in there and forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you'll have too many people disagreeing with you on that. So moving on to the defence, the first thing that hits me when I looked at this draft earlier on is the fact that after this game week, you're probably looking at three starting defenders that you're comfortable starting in Botman, Trippier and Pedro Porro at the moment. I know you mentioned it could be a doggy, but is that a concern at all? Are you slightly worried that any injury could mean that you're basically locking into a defensive transfer you can't lean on your bench too much with? I don't know, is Kabore a player you can lean on a little bit? Maybe Taylor as well, but not sure.
Yeah, that's one of my main concerns here, just because of how rubbish my team value was. Like, I've seen others who have got, you know, have still managed to get a decent kind of 4.5 million defender on the bench. As it is, I've got two promoted defenders and a promoted striker making up my bench, which is obviously not the best thing in the world. There's a slight sacrifice there, especially if you also consider throw in that Gordon's on four yellow cards, which I'm mindful of. I know I'm sure some people may have been thinking, oh, he's got Gordon. Does he not know? Yeah, I do know. A lot of that is contingent on me keeping Saka. Because if I just raided the Saka money altogether, did sell him for Bowen and reuse that money, then I could get a 4.5 million defender. I could get like a Gahey or maybe even go up to a Cash to sit on my bench as well and have him as the 12th man, which I'm considering doing. It's just that I'm pretty convinced that Saka's going to have a great season, and I don't really want to be shutting the door on Saka. And if you look elsewhere, like at the point of this, as I said, is to not make the compromises I'm going to have to make in the future, other people will have to make in the future. So Trippier, for example, is a player that I really do want to keep on the wild card. I want to keep him there. And I know that people last week didn't get Trippier because you can disperse the funds elsewhere. I want to keep Trippier, keep Son, keep Salah, keep Haaland, keep Saka, and just have them as like a core nexus of my team. Like, I know that's going to mean there is going to be a compromise somewhere. And it might be that, you know, I go with Udogi over Pedro Porro and take Botman down to Burn and then use that 0.3, I think it would be, to try to kind of do something with one of the defenders. I don't really know where that would actually get me. I think I maybe it may have to kind of take Turner down to like a Shakosha or something like that and see if there's a 4.4 defender out there I could buy. But that's kind of, you know, where I'm going to be landing with this as it is. I mean, there's always going to be a compromise in any wildcard. There's always going to be a trade-off. And I think that if there are kind of red lines that I've set, sorry to trigger people who remember the Brexit deal, but if there are some red lines that I've set myself, you know, I'm not going to, because I've wildcarded on Thursday as well, so I'm not going to be able to go down loads of different lines. So I've got an actual job to do and things like that too, and the babies look after. So I'm not going to spend all of tomorrow drinking and looking at my wildcard. But there will be a dedicated section for those people who are interested. I've set myself those sort of red lines that there are a few players that I really want to keep. The reason that I've wildcarded is to keep those players, but still be able to grab the players that everyone's going to want in a few weeks' time. So yeah, that's where it is. And yeah, I am a little bit concerned. There's a really long-winded way of me saying yes, I'm a little bit concerned. But I think that's kind of just a bit of a byproduct of the setup I've got here.
Yeah, fair enough. So you mentioned Udogie versus Pedro Porro there a minute ago, and I wanted to explore that a little bit further as well, because obviously so far Porro isn't really in the template. Udogie, on the other hand, has become very popular, a couple of price rises. And what I would say is like fairly middling underlying data. I wouldn't say it's exceptional, but for someone who was a 4.5 million defender, pretty good. And I think we were all very happy to be jumping on him at the start of the season. However, at this point, do you think that it's actually probably more favourable to go with a Pedro Porro? Obviously, the price is a lot closer now than it was. Mm-hmm. Do you think if you've got that spare money that it is an upside differential, a pick that you would prioritise making over Udogie?
Yeah, listen, like I've spoken to a few Spurs fans about this, and if you look at the underlying data, Porro's is actually quite a bit superior to Udogie's. Udogie is more of a trickler, whereas Porro's quite like an agent of chaos, to verbalise what one of my friends said. And putting him in, he's just got that capacity to 1 week just get ridiculous score. He has played, I know he didn't play the first game, but he's played every minute since then, pretty much. His non-pen XG, I think he was like one above Udogie's. I think there's shots as well was pretty decent. I think it's just not quite come together for Porro yet. I think it could be a good differential, especially in the engaged manager set, because as you said, all clever managers, including yourself, got Udogie at 4.5, whereas bozos like me got bloody Bulldog. So I think it's close enough now that I'm not as concerned by losing the 0.2. But if I have to lose 0.2, if I kind of by tomorrow or by Saturday morning I've lost my nerve and think, oh god, my bench is an absolute train wreck, I need to sort that out and have someone on it, then he could well end up as Udogie. But at the moment I am very minded to go with Porro. So it looks like he's got the nod over Royale. Especially in those sort of easier quote unquote games which are coming up. So it seems like kind of the Sarr Bissouma thing kind of allows Porro and Udogie to participate in the attack. So I quite like that. And they're all names that are going to be familiar to people in the FPL world, and none of it is particularly exciting. Like Gordon's like 5% owned, but like everyone's talking about him, and he's in every wildcard going, I think I've seen. So but nothing's particularly exciting here. I've got to have to say, nothing to see here. But yeah, it's one of those where I just quite fancy going a slightly differential, just to try to be a bit more aggressive, really.
Yeah, fair enough. In terms of differentials as well, in the midfield, Bowen is still relatively low owned. I did have a bit of a question around his inclusion just for the longevity of your plans here. So with Bowen, are you seeing him as just a one-week punt and then you move across to Saka? Or I think you mentioned Maddison as well. And if that is the case, if Saka is ruled out of the Bournemouth game, are you thinking Saka can wait for a few weeks before bringing him back in? Or are you, even despite the fact it's City next up, are you trying to get him back in and you need that money set aside for when you do that? Or can you potentially use that money elsewhere for a little bit and figure it out down the line? How much of a priority is Saka to get back in?
I mean, I'm convinced that he's going to have a great season. So I think he is a priority to be able to be purchased relatively frictionlessly. So if I can get there in one move, that would be ideal. So with Bowen, 1 week punt straight on to Maddison next week for the Luton game, that would be the idea. I know it's unfashionable and people don't like it, but that would be my idea. Whether I would then move him straight to Saka, I think Saka's got Sheffield United in game week 10, I think that would be the week I want him back. That probably would be where I'd go. If it turned out that Saka was out, then I'd be happy to go with that plan. If there's a question mark, if it looks like Saka could be fit, or if there's any sort of if Mikel says he's fine, then I'm going to keep Saka and play Saka this week. Simple as that. And then next week I'll make a call on whether I want to sell Saka. If it looks like his price is going down, then maybe I'll sell him for Maddison. I think that's fine. Then have Maddison for a couple of weeks and bring Saka back again with 10 or 11 and work it out further down the line. I just don't know, but I feel like I'm always conscious of this baby and throwing the baby out the bathwater thing. Maybe I've already done that with Rashford and Bumo and Estupiñan. I don't know yet. But I think that, you know, Saka again is another sort of red line player that I really want to just keep in my team and have in my team, you know, for the longish haul. So that's kind of where I am with that one at the moment.
Yeah, fair enough. And I like that plan around about game week 10. I think if you didn't have that money spare, then red flags would kind of crop up with this draft. But because you're keeping that money aside, I think it's a pretty safe assumption Saka drops. But I would probably, you know me, we've been discussing it all day. I'm slightly more cautious, I think, than you as a manager. And I would panic knowing that I'm wildcarding into a side that actually technically couldn't afford a player that I know I'm going to want in 2 weeks already.
Yeah, that's literally it, yeah.
But if you're confident he does drop, and obviously Bowen could go up in price, Maddison could go up in price as well by 0.2 in any given game week. So you could also get the money back that way.
Yeah, that's
but true. I think if this was my wildcard draft, I would probably favour going a doggy over Porro, for example, just so I've got that safety net. But yeah. I completely understand where you're coming from there. I think Bowen for a one game week punt as well is about as good a fixture as you can have Sheffield United at home, and because you've also got Gordon there, that's basically rounding up all of the best players from this game week, and Gordon's got that longevity as well. I think we discussed either on the pod or in one of my shows earlier this week the fact that Gordon is a really good enabler to get you to a Salah, and yeah. I just wonder, in two or three game weeks time, are there going to be other enablers that could also unlock a Salah, or is it going to be basically Gordon or bust even by game week 9? I guess that's kind of the bet you're making at this point, that Gordon is the guy that's going to continue starting, continue getting the minutes, and that can unlock Salah for the foreseeable.
Yeah, the thing is, at that price, I don't really see very much else. Like, you might find Brendan Johnson perhaps be a player. You might really kind of fancy Morgan Gibbs-White, for example, because they've got Luton in game week 9. Now, he's a consideration, but again, I don't really quite have the money at the moment. So, you know, there are other players at that price who could well kind of come in, but it does seem kind of like he's the one, especially because they're in good quote-unquote form, or at least in a good moment, have been a decent trajectory with a decent game coming up against Burnley. It feels like, you know, that seems to be the one to go with. Like, yeah, he might get a yellow card, but he could well be kind of the enabler du jour, especially if he does kind of keep up how he's been performing thus far. So I said he's doing surprisingly well in the overall sort of player stats for this season in terms of non-pen XGI. Like, he's 13th overall, like just behind Bumo, which is not bad at all, especially because Bumo is one of the players who everyone's been kind of talking up, and Gordon's kind of quietly gone about his business and done pretty decently. With Barnes out, it's just kind of contingent on him not getting a yellow card, and if he does, then I'll manage that. Probably be like Archer or something, or, you know, figure out whoever the hell I've got on my bench. But I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world, basically. It shouldn't put you off a player, especially with a decent fixture up next. If you're buying him in not on wildcard, then maybe there's more of a question mark and more to consider. But on a wildcard, you know, you might as well, really. And then, you know, there's always Pedro Neto if everything goes wrong.
I was about to say Neto could be a good midterm shout. But yeah, I like Gordon. I think the yellow card thing people would be naturally concerned about. But I think anyone wildcarding at the moment is going to have Archer as that third striker. And I think a striker of decent quality is always a good sub to have up your sleeve. And because he's starting, he's not like a Mbama there, just burning a spot third on your bench every week. You can't guarantee any minutes. He will probably get 80 plus minutes every match. I don't know if he's on penalties or not. I haven't actually checked that, but as a striker, he has a decent chance, I suppose, of getting penalties eventually, if not already. So yeah, I think having Archer there is kind of your get out of jail free card for a freak injury or that fifth Gordon yellow that probably comes in the next few game weeks. Obviously, Burnley is the prime fixture. We know he's not going to be banned for that. So I think it's still a pretty decent pickup. And because you're wildcarding, you've got the ability to get to a Gordon, whereas I think his ownership is going to stay pretty low for anyone not wildcarding because they need to guarantee two or three game weeks out of him first. Yeah. And on that four yellows, they don't have the backup plan ready. And also, there are other good midfielders this week, like Bowen, like James Ward-Prowse. And that leads me on to my next question, which is, this is a strong five in midfield, but all season long we've been talking about a number of midfielders, probably 15 deep. Are there any others in your consideration at the moment outside of Saka, or are these five and plus Saka as a potential sixth the ones that you're mainly looking at this point?
Yeah, they are. If I didn't have Alvarez, for example, I'd probably find a way to manufacture a Grealish re-entry into my team. For example, really like the look of Diogo Jota. I like the look of Luis Diaz. But can you tell me which one of them is going to start anytime soon? Because I certainly have no idea. I'd like to, you know, have Darwin Nunez potentially as well in a 3-4-3. I've considered that and then dumping Saka for that. But again, is it quite the right time now, especially because he's going away on international break? So even when you're wildcarding over the international break, you're probably not going to be including Darwin in your team because he's probably, you know, as we've seen with the last international break at the end, Klopp didn't play any of the South American players. So there are a few kind of individuals that I do like the look of. It's just that I really can't find a way at the moment to prioritise them over individuals who are currently within the consideration set. I mean, the closest is probably going to be Bowen, but I think Saka is just above Bowen. But if I do end up with Saka, then he becomes Bowen 1 week and then he moves on to being Maddison against Luton. And that's kind of what happens. I'm kind of tempted to do that anyway and just take a big bet against everything. But as it is, I think I'm kind of trying to follow some semblance of a safety first sort of measure, especially having removed Estupiñán, who's still kind of 62% owners, and ridiculous. Mbeumo. I think there's also the kind of the likes of Matoma as well, but Villa, Liverpool and Man City, the next three, yes, they can score anywhere, but I'm still just don't think that's the sexiest of fixture on. So he's another one that probably is going to be earmarked for consideration around game week 10-ish. I think there's quite a few teams around game 10 who could again come in the reckoning. And, you know, if the RB's not worked by them, for example, then him to Matoma could be an example. Like, you know, it's always the same in FPL. Like, you know, if you take a moment and just kind of stop and try to figure out your whole team, which is what wildcard is, taking a step back and looking at everything, you can kind of forget that week to week you end up kind of living hand to mouth a little bit sometimes in FPL. You're like, right, I'm making this change, I'm making that change. And yeah, it's trying to kind of retain my mindfulness or consciousness, as another podcaster would call it, about all of that. So yeah, I think that five at the moment is kind of where I'm happy. It's just Bowen or Saka, basically.
Yeah, I like that five. I think there's plenty of goals in there. Most of them are featuring almost as talismanic in their teams at the moment. So yeah, I have no complaints with that five whatsoever. Let's move over to your striking force. I don't think we need to spend any time on Archer. I think he'll be in most wild cards at this point. I think what's really interesting is you're persevering with that double City attack. So I wanted to explore, obviously, no questions over Haaland realistically, especially at the moment. But Alvarez, obviously, very popular pick at the moment. Everyone was driving the buys for him last game week. Did blank, but I think was fairly unlucky. Do you still see him as a good long-term hold? Or is he a potential player that you might want to switch out when City's fixtures harden around game week 9 or 10?
I mean, do they? I've seen this start to crop up in the community a bit, and it's laughable. Like, all right, Arsenal away, yes, okay, that's not the best fixture in the world, but City are the bad fixture. Game week 9, Brighton at home, hang on a minute, that's a really good fixture for attackers. Game week 10, Man United away, are we pretending that Maguire and bloody Johnny Evans of AC Milan in the 1980s? No, like, that's a really good fixture. And then you've got Bournemouth in 11, Chelsea in 12, Liverpool in 13, Spurs in 14. Like, yes, hard because of the FDR, but think about it for a second. None of those fixtures are difficult from an attacking perspective. Well, they're difficult, but you know what I mean. I mean, I'm very happy to keep Alvarez as it is. City are kind of low on numbers at the moment. We'll see what happens with Bernardo Silva coming back. But I suspect it won't be just me who's affected if Bernardo Silva does end up pushing Alvarez out of the team in certain situations. And, you know, there could be some rotation for City in the Champions League. But their group is not that difficult, is it? Really. Right. And they're out of the they're now out of the Carabao Cup as well. So I think at the moment it's probably all right with Alvarez. And as I said, it doesn't just affect me. It affects loads of other people if Alvarez does go out. But at that price point, I think it's just leagues away from any other kind of alternative round there.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm glad you mentioned the fixtures as well. I completely agree. I don't think you can really call many of them difficult fixtures to score in, especially for a team like Man City. I guess the one hesitation I'd have with Alvarez is that, yes, they do have a pretty easy Champions League group, and I don't really expect them to necessarily have to put out a full strength 11 every single week when they get into those fixtures. But as we saw in the midweek, Alvarez is the second striker that they've got. So if Haaland, who obviously, as we know, is probably the player that they'll want to give a rest to, does get a rest in any Champions League games, Alvarez is probably the one that will have to play quite a few minutes in the midweek. And I don't think that's an issue at the moment, by the way. I don't think he'll be rested this game week, for instance, after playing in the Carabao. But moving forwards, when they've got other players coming back, I just wonder whether Pep will start being ever so slightly more pragmatic with Alvarez's minutes in the Prem, knowing that every now and then he might want to use him a bit more in the Champions League than he does with Haaland. Mm-hmm. I don't know really whether that would actually prevent me getting Alvarez. I think if I was wildcarding now, I'd probably have these two up top as well. And even in game week 9, I've been playing around with what it would look like, still probably includes Alvarez at this point. So I'm definitely not berating him as a pick. I just wonder whether that's maybe entered anyone's minds, whether that's something you've thought of at this stage.
I think that sounds to me like cross that bridge when you come to it. At the risk of abdicating responsibility completely. I haven't got all the answers at the moment. No one does. And I think that's very much all valid points, but what the hell am I supposed to do about that right now? Because it makes so much more sense just to keep the guy. So valid points, but there's nothing that's going to sway me, I don't think, there at the moment.
Fair enough. Well, that brings me on really nicely to my final question regarding the strikers. And you mentioned, what am I supposed to do about it right now? Well, we are in a double game week and you are on a wild card. So what is stopping you from going for Carlton Morris this week?
He's a player that I want to wild card out of rather than wild card into. Like, his usefulness is 1 week. That's it. And then after that, you've got 1 million. You're paying 1 million more than Cameron Archer for a player that you're going to want to get rid of and free up that 1 million from. So I'm basically buying a transfer. And I've already got a transfer as well if I do the Bowen thing. So it's another one. And I can't really justify getting him in, because that 1 million has to come from somewhere. And as I've already mentioned, I've got some red lines about how I'm sort of setting up my wild card. So I haven't really got the space either to do it. And so there's lots of reasons. But that's the principal one that I'm just kind of not particularly enamored by them. They could do well, but I'm not particularly enamored by them anyway. And then what you do afterwards, if I'm wildcarding out of it, like I was thinking this week, maybe I'll just buy Morris if there's more injuries and kind of things like that, because you might as well from Mbama. But that was before I kind of decided to wildcard. But I'm not interested. Basically, Kabore will do just fine.
Yeah, agreed. And I guess the conversation would maybe slightly change if you didn't have that transfer booked in for next game week anyway. But I guess the other thing is, do you think Morris is a captaincy shout over Haaland this game week? And my assumption from all of our conversations so far this week would be no.
I wouldn't do it personally. I'd own him, but not captain him. If it was me, I'd still captain Haaland. But I can see why people are looking at doing it, especially kind of if you're kind of struggling a bit more. Then absolutely, I can see why you're doing it. It's just, it wouldn't be for me, because you're just, this is not for me.
Fair enough. Well, that is your full 15. Are there any final notes that you wanted to mention that maybe you didn't bring up to start with? Or shall we move on to the end of the show?
No, that's it. I think that we shall see how it goes. I'm fully expecting. I can't remember ever having a wild card where I have done really well for next week. So my full expectation is that this is going to be an absolute disaster, especially because I'm literally, apart from Kabore, all out after Saturday. So,
wow, yeah.
Because I haven't got Mbeumo, I haven't got any Chelsea players. So I'm literally all out after Saturday. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how I feel after the Spurs-Liverpool game, because that's it. That's the end, basically, for my week, unless Kabore manages to get like a 12 pointer against Burnley. Yeah, it's going to be a short, sharp shock. And I've got to just hope that I come out of it alive rather than flatlining. And I'm fully expecting it not to go well. As I always say to everybody that I know, if you expect nothing, then you're always going to be pleasantly surprised. So that's kind of how I've set my expectations very low.
What a note to end the podcast on. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, set those expectations low. Saturday should be really interesting. I can't wait to see what our text chat's going to look like around about 5:30 on Saturday, or rather around 7 o'clock when the game's actually finished. But yeah, that's crazy that they're all on Saturday. There are a lot of games on the Saturday, so I'm going to bunker down and try and watch as many as I can. But yeah, fantastic. Well, I hope all of you listening in and watching on YouTube enjoyed the show today. It was a bit off the cuff. It's a bit shorter than usual, but we thought it'd be really important to dive on and assess Tom's wild card, especially with everything we discussed earlier on in the week with so many moving parts. We thought it'd be good to get it down on paper. And hopefully, Tom, it was helpful for you to sort of talk about it out loud. I know you've been deliberating it throughout the day, but hopefully this half an hour has been at least slightly useful to solidify some of your decisions.
No, it's just been good to reinforce why I did it. It's positive confirmation. And at least I believe I've done the right thing. I didn't really have any, like when I pulled it, like I've had some wild cards where I've been like, why the fuck did I do that? Like straight away. And this one, I didn't really have any regrets. Like I was pretty like, my gosh, gut, do I leave my gut? You know what I mean? I've kind of felt like, yeah, okay, I've convinced myself this is good. So yeah, there you go. It's been positive affirmation for me. You are a good manager. You know what you're doing. It's all fine. It's all fine until I get 30 points and Rashford and Sterling and all of that lot end up with double-digit rules and I'm left at 2.7 million or something.
As a Sterling and Rashford owner, I can tell you right now, that ain't happening. You're fine. But yeah, so I personally think you're getting a green arrow this week. It would be the first WGTA green arrow of the season, which is absolutely insane. But I am crossing my fingers for you. I do wish you all the best, because I would love to see a green arrow on this podcast and something interesting to discuss next week, because our teams will actually look pretty different, which so far they look fairly similar, 8 or 9 players the same. From now on, we're going to be going down different paths. So that will at least be slightly interesting to track. In the meantime, though, we have been Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter, or X as it's now known, at WGTA_FPL. You can find me there at FPL Pricey, and on Threads/Instagram at WGTA.FPL. Again, I'm just FPL Pricey on there. If you enjoyed this very short-term pod, then please do consider leaving a like and subscribing to the YouTube channel if you're watching on there. Or if you're listening in, please do have a think about giving a 5-star review. It would be so, so helpful to us.
Yeah, thanks so much, everybody. Thanks for humouring me if you did listen to this. And yes, I hope I assisted you think about your wildcard and what you're going to do going forward. I speak to you on Monday to pick over the wreckage. I know there'll be the second game, double game week to come, but there'll be more than enough to talk about and more than enough to, I'm sure, enjoy some Schadenfreude for. But which of us will it be? Find out then. Speak to you soon.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.